Grade 6 Conference, Lecture 58, Overview of Medieval History. Some of the themes that you may want to draw upon or take up in this study of the Middle Ages will include the rise of feudalism as a new method of bringing stability and order to the state, and it's good to compare the feudal structure of Europe to the Roman structure of government and see, is there progress made? Is this going back in time? And also, if you do get into feudalism, it's something that you can even discuss in relationship to our own time. Is there anything feudal about the way we live today? It's interesting to think that about 20% of the American workforce, mostly male, is involved in one or another form of guarding something. They're in the military, the police, the many private security forces that exist, the many covert security forces that exist in our country. Perhaps it's even more like one-third, who knows. So we're really guarding a lot. We certainly have our own walled culture today, and this great separation of the haves and the have-nots and the great imbalances in income in our nation. So perhaps those of us who lived in the Middle Ages are returning unable to escape from that kind of social form that was there. It wasn't the same 50 years ago, even 30 years ago to some degree. It's as though something has been injected into our culture more and more strongly towards the end of the 20th century and beginning of the 21st that seems to bring with it a strong feudal impulse. And we'll see how that plays itself out in the future. A lot of science fiction novels point to a world that is very feudal, very medieval in nature. Star Wars, perhaps most famously, with its knights and its sort of Roman Senate and its princesses and leaders of these different little duchies, which happen to be on different planets, perhaps. So we can see how that model, that archetype, is deeply imprinted within us. So the study of feudalism is very good. I mentioned before, of course, the world of the knight and the world of the monk, very important. Also, the rise of the Pope and the kind of Constantinian impulse that lives on, that the papacy becomes increasingly an earthly power, a military power, a political power, and how the rising monarchical impulse in Europe, which takes about 1,000 years to fully unfold, how this works with or against, or sometimes both with and against, the papal rise in power as well. This is something that's going to play an important part in seventh grade, of course, when you have strong figures like Pope Julius and his impulse for the arts and the Renaissance and the Medici family and their interwoven lives with the political and the religious impulses in and around Rome. So that's something that you may want to bring to the students as well. The life of Muhammad and the rise of Islam, the first new religion to arise after the time of Christ. You know, it's interesting that Waldorf schools for many, many years were the only schools in Europe in which Islam was studied by students below the university level. And the same in the United States. The only non-religious schools in the United States in which Muhammad, His life, his deeds, and the rise of Islam were studied as part of history in the primary school, the middle school years. That wasn't done anywhere else until very recently under great duress. So here we have it, you know, we're giving the children in 1 year the life of Jesus of Nazareth and the life of Muhammad. So this is a good year in which to do this. And with this also, although it extends a little bit beyond one century, beyond the 11th century, which I, you know, told you is the one that you may want to go only that far, the 10th or 11th century, but into early in the 12th century, Peter the Hermit and the First Crusade. That could be a very good way to end your study of this part of the Middle Ages. Also coming before him, the life of Charlemagne and the ascendancy then of a new emperor and the beginning of the Holy Roman Empire. So we can see how strong the Roman impulse still was, that the best thing that could be said about a king is that he is like a Roman emperor, and the people of his time still felt themselves to be like the Romans. And Charlemagne's garb was essentially a somewhat streamlined and glorified toga. So he's a wonderful figure to take up. We'll talk a little about him in subsequent lectures. And then also the Arthurian stories, which are not, of course, technically historical. They, like the early days of Rome, are on the cusp of myth and history. But certainly Steiner had a lot to say about their historical veracity and about their importance for Western culture altogether. These are stories that you could tell at lunchtime, as you perhaps did the Aeneid earlier in the year. Now you can take 10 or 15 minutes every day at lunchtime and maybe read from a wonderful rendition like Howard Pyle's stories of the Middle Ages and the Knights of the Round Table, or Roger Lancelin Green's retelling. There are any number of versions. And these stories, too, can really evoke something in the souls of the sixth grader. It can be very therapeutic stories. And, of course, we can't forget that when we touch on all of these medieval things, if you're in a school that has a high school, 5 years from now, when your students are in 11th grade, they will once again delve deeply into medieval history. And I'm going to be including in the slideshow, you'll see, some work from 11th grade to give you a picture of, once again, this medieval life and spirit arising again in the soul of a young person. And I would say that both 6th grade and 11th grade are times when boys in particular can really take a huge step forward, sometimes a quantum leap in their lives. And the stories of knights, as well as the stories of monks, but the knights in particular, can have a very powerful, very beneficial impact on them. So that's something else that I would urge you to try to weave into sixth grade. It's about the only opportunity that you'll have, and it would be a pity if your students didn't hear something of those stories at this time. For main lesson book work, drawings, diagrams of castles, knights in armor, weaponry. Of course, there will still be the girls who want to draw anybody they possibly can on or off a horse. And also copying from illuminated manuscripts, letting that monastic quality arise in the students as well, or talking about the daily regime of a monk, or trying to express in a letter perhaps what experiences a monk might go through. So try to bring equal time to all of those impulses in the Middle Ages. And I'll show you some of the illustrations. My collection of medieval art, unfortunately, is not as complete as my collection of Roman art, because my students made away with their books towards the end of the year before I could photograph them extensively. But it gives you an idea of some of the things that they worked on. So in the next segment, we'll talk a little bit about some of the personalities of the Middle Ages.